Cubs fans, and welcome to a brand new edition of Cubs on Tap. I am Ron Luce. We got a full barn tonight. I'm super excited to get back on the mic with these guys. I am joined by the one and only Mr. Tyler Edmonds, the one and only Mr. Joey Ricotta, and we have the Juice Man himself somewhere off in his room at the moment. But gentlemen, Tyler, we'll start with you, buddy. How are you doing? It's been a while since all four of us have been on the microphone together.
I'm good, man. I'm great. It's good to, you know, get to talk to you guys again. It feels like it's been too long, but yeah, I'm good, man. Hell, what happened? We just opened a Dunkin' Donuts today in our town. Big things. And yeah, man, the off season's here. I know a lot of casual fans are probably like, "Oh, it's off season," but for us diehards, man, it's exciting because we get to play the what if game. We get to read all the rumors. We get to build our lineups and what we want to do. So, man, I'm excited. It's great to see you guys. Great to talk to you.
Good, man. Hey, it's good to see you too. And for those that are wondering, listening to this, going, why is Tyler excited about a Dunkin' Donuts? Tyler lives in a small town in Kentucky, right? Like,
yes.
I don't think town's all that terribly large. So, again, something to keep in mind. And our friend Jeremiah in the comments here. Hey, I know you guys. Hey, we know you too. Good to see you, friend. Joey, how are you doing, my friend? How's life? How's things? What are you up to nowadays?
Well, it'll be better if I win some bets tonight. You know, I've got some money on Derrick Henry's rushing yards and receiving yards, but I'm doing great, man. Like, I'm excited. I am jacked up to talk some Cubs offseason. Tyler, I completely understand your excitement about a Dunkin' Donuts. I have one right down the street from me, and it never fails me. We literally ran out of coffee like 2 days ago in the house. And so for 2 days straight, I went to Dunkin' Donuts right down the street. Always comes through. Yeah, man, I'm excited. There's a lot to talk about, like you said, Ron, as far as Cubs go. And it's been a minute. When you said, "Hello, Cubs fans," like, that's about as exciting as it gets, because that just tells you we have not been on the mic for that for quite a while now. So it feels good to be back, man.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something about a bellowing "Hello, Cubs fans" that just gets you in the zone.
It's like the "If you smell," you know, that's your calling card. That's your calling card, Luce. It is.
It gets you going, man. And I think we've got Juice somewhere over here. I was told he's got some theme music though that I didn't know about. Do you guys know anything about this? No, we heard something about Juice being diabolical and Juice being on to something.
Yeah, I've been hearing rumors about, Juice is up to something. What is it?
Who is this monster?
What is this guy?
I don't know. We're waiting for him. He's off somewhere in the neighborhood here. I mean, you could see the hell of a backdrop he's got, first off, ladies and gentlemen. He is ready to roll. He's got it going, man, and we don't know where he is. Where is Juice? Oh, we hear him coming. Uh-oh. Who's this guy? Hello, Juice.
Hello.
How are you doing,
Mr. Here with the plans.
With the hashtag plans.
Top secret plans. Top secret Cubs on Tap. Cubs plans, my friends.
How are you doing, my friend? First off, I got to ask, what the hell's in the bag?
Yeah. Pretzels.
What you got?
Nice.
Very nice.
Pretzels, water, nice little apple for the teacher. Got that for you, Ronald. Yeah, man. Like, excited to be on with you guys. I hope you enjoyed my little stick. This is off-season Juice. I'm like Mad Money. I'm like that guy on the, "You got to buy high here. You got to buy low here. You got to blah, 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 blah." Yeah, and I'm going to make you money, and the Cubs are going to, because I got the plans.
Let's go.
I wish you wouldn't have called yourself Jim Cramer, because now I can't unsee it. And it I'm going to cry laughing now later when I get done when we rewatch this show because I can't unsee it now. But, gentlemen, a lot to talk about. Obviously, it's been a busy couple of weeks. The Cubs have been fairly active in making some minor roster moves, assigning guys to AAA, setting their 40-man roster. And I think that's a good place for us to start tonight because the Cubs officially set the 40-man roster just the other day, which was, what, 2 days ago, I believe now. We're recording this on Thursday night. Brennan Davis, Ryan Jensen, Ben Brown, Kevin Alcantara are your four names that were added. By adding them to the 40-man roster, that protects them from the Rule 5 draft, which, for those that aren't familiar with the Rule 5 draft, guys that aren't on 40-man rosters by a certain time in their, you know, service time, they are up for other teams to essentially take for nothing and add to their 40-man roster. So Rule 5 has certainly breeded some big names in other places, guys that just fall out of favor. But, gentlemen, want to get your initial thoughts. I feel like the four that they protected make a lot of sense. I don't think anybody's terribly surprised by the four, but that also brings their 40-man roster up to 38 out of 40. So, gentlemen, I'll open the floor to you guys. Thoughts on the four that were protected? And I know we were hinting at it a little bit before the show here in our own little conversation of maybe some other guys that are on the chopping block here from the 40-man as well, as if the Cubs get uber aggressive as we expect them to here in free agency.
Well, to be honest, like you just said, Ron, I'm not upset about the guys that they protected, the four guys they protected. There's a couple of question marks that we talked about before the show. There's like guys like Nick Madrigal, guys like Patrick Wisdom, guys like Rafael Ortega that probably are going to be on the chopping block or probably going to be like all eyes on them to see, you know, whether or not they're going to be on the roster or not. I was a little surprised about and I'm going to butcher his name, Luis Sever, the minor league pitcher of the year last year.
Devers.
Right, Luis Devers. You know, that was a little question mark as far as, like, the dude just had an outstanding season last year. But, yeah, man, it still imposes a lot of questions. I know with the two open spots, a lot of people are probably wondering, like, oh, my gosh, what moves are we going to – is there a big trade coming? Is something happening? Are we going to pick up one of these guys in the next week when the deadline comes around with the my mind's gone blank.
The non-tender.
Non-tender. Yeah. Are we looking at somebody that could possibly be non-tendered? And I think we're probably going to talk about that here later. But, yeah, I wasn't upset about the four guys they kept. But still a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's fair. And just quickly, too, with Devers, he might not be eligible yet. Because it gets to a certain point in their career. Like, these guys have all been in the system now for a few years, have accumulated some of that service time. So that's why they have to be added to the 40, gotcha. Man. I will be the first one to admit baseball has the most complicated roster rules of any league overall. Yes. So it's really, really hard to follow sometimes. So don't be entirely surprised by that. Joey, though, your thoughts on these guys. I mean, you got anything to add to what Tyler said?
No, yeah, I really wasn't that surprised either. I think those are the three locks were Brennan Davis, Kevin Alcantara, and Ben Brown, and then Ryan Jensen. Not really surprising, but it's kind of like surprising because they could have kept possibly like Cam Sanders. And I thought Luis Devers was Rule 5, but I
was
could
he?
Be wrong.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that. I know Pablo Aliendo, I think, was. There were some other guys that Riley Thompson.
Chase Strumpf.
Chase Strumpf was, yeah. Bryce Cole Ball. Cole Franklin's another one, yeah. There's quite a few. Yohendrick Pango, I think, was another one. But some of these guys are, like, further down the line where you're not really – worried about another team sniping them because I believe they'd have to keep them on the active roster. So, you know, you're not going to take a guy from like single A or low A and put him on the active roster and then just like hide him on the bench and then like kind of stunt his development. You want those guys playing every day. So the guys that usually get picked up, especially are like relief pitchers in the Rule 5 draft. So like a lot of the guys, that's why Cam Sanders was a guy that a lot of people looked at and were like, well, maybe he gets plucked in the Rule 5. And it's still possible, obviously. I think Darius Hill is another guy that could probably get plucked because an outfield depth guy that's pretty much near ready, you know, left-handed. So he could probably get plucked by like a team like the Blue Jays who maybe need depth or something in the outfield. But I mean, I don't know. I wasn't really surprised. I think Ryan Jensen, he's dealt with a lot of injuries, but obviously being the former top pick that he was and for the Cubs, like they want to see how that thing progresses. And Alcantara, obviously he's a little bit of ways away, but I think three of those four guys we might see next season at the big league level for the Cubs. So why not protect them? Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, and you guys were correct. Devers was one of the names that was included. I think what a lot of people need to remember with the Rule 5, and maybe this is a reason why the Cubs are content protecting who they protected, is you have to add them to your 40-man if you take them in the Rule 5 draft. So unless these guys are close to MLB ready, a lot of teams aren't willing to burn a 40-man roster spot on a guy that's an A-ball. And I think that's why they can get away with guys like Devers and some of these other guys. Alcantara is understandable because Alcantara is a top prospect. Like, you leave him unprotected, somebody will find a justification to leave him on the 40-man for a few years. Like, somebody will find a way. But some of these other guys, you can definitely get away with it. A couple other notable names here. Kane Euchert, he's one of the top 30 prospects, relief pitcher. Certainly a guy that could go. Riley Thompson, another name. Friend of the program, Cole Franklin. I think Cole's pretty safe from an A-ball perspective. You mentioned Darius Hill, Joey. Chase Strumpf, Cam Sanders as well, you know, among others. And real quick, Juice, before we get to you, my friend, friend of the program, good friend of the program as well, Mr. Jake Bujniowski. Says Sanders is going to get swiped in the Rule 5 for sure. He says he'd be surprised to see any others. So, Juice, I want to hear your thoughts too, my mans. You got the hashtag plans in your top secret folder. I want to know how many of these Rule 5 guys you thought about in those plans.
Not very many. I'm going to be honest. I think this is a breath of good fresh air too, having that extra space on the 40-man. I think it kind of announces the fact that they may be more active in free agency than we think too. This, they're going to need those precious spots. And like you said, Ron, I was just going to say, Devers pitched at low A and high A. If he's the only guy we're worried about in terms of this, and obviously Sanders, if he gets swiped, that's fine. But there's a plethora of young arms that are going to be coming through the bullpen real soon. So why should we fret about a guy who's at low A and high A? I love Devers. I do. I've said it on this program. I think he's a really good player. But to keep him on your 40-man all year, I think that's just tough for anybody to do right now, considering that there's a lot of free agency noise going on and those spots right now are so precious. So I think this almost announces that they're going to be more active in free agency than you think. By keeping less off of that, it kind of announces that, hey, we have more room to work with. There's obviously some cut candidates that we've talked about on the 40-man, you know, off air here that we've kind of went through that are already on the roster that we don't think are coming back. But with that said, the more spots, the better in terms of, you know, being active at the winter meetings as well. And then, you know, throughout the offseason.
Yeah. And just to follow up with what all of you guys said, I don't think anybody is terribly surprised. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not even surprised by Jensen being protected either from the Rule 5, because I think you see a lot of the upside. Joey, you mentioned some of the injuries that Jensen has dealt with and, you know, he hasn't been able to really put a full season together. But I think a lot of people forget this guy was a first-round pick. He was the first-round pick in 2019 for the Cubs. They clearly see something in him out of Fresno State. I mean, he's a smaller guy, but guess what? Guess who else is a smaller guy? Marcus Stroman. Like, you know, he's got good velocity for only stand. I think Jensen's only like 5'10 or something like that. Like, I say only, even though I'm like 5'10 myself. But again, from an athlete standpoint, right, he is considered a smaller pitcher, and clearly they like something, right? I think that, if anything, I think that's a test, you know, kind of a testimony to the fact that Jensen might have been a Jed guy, because that was still a draft when Theo Epstein was at the helm. So certainly something to keep an eye on as well. Absolutely in agreement with you guys there. But we mentioned, right, some of these 40-man guys and guys that could be on the chopping block, right? Patrick Wisdom and Rafael Ortega, Zach McKinstry, even though he played really well down the stretch as a utility guy. Another piece of news that we haven't touched on yet, the Miles Mastrobioni trade, getting him from the Tampa Bay Rays. He's coming in predominantly a second baseman, but a guy that does have utility-like qualities. He hit 300 at AAA last year. You know, I think his OPS was circa like low eights, I think. So again, a guy that has produced, and that Durham, there's just something about the Durham Bulls, man. That AAA team just pumps more talent through it than any other AAA team I've ever freaking seen. You know, but guys, some other names that come to mind here, I'm just kind of browsing the 40-man list here, right? Mark Leiter Jr. is a name that could absolutely be evicted if, you know, the right circumstances come around. Michael Rucker, I think, is a guy that, although has been good, who knows? Very interesting to note, Alexander Viscaino, the missing prospect that a lot of people call him for the Cubs this year, is on the 40-man. So, you know, maybe they know something that we don't from that perspective. Obviously, guys like Wisniewski and Roman, you know, Rowan Wick are still on there. I mean, you mentioned Madrigal. Alfonso Rivas is certainly a candidate that could lose his job if they found somebody else. Joey, I know I'm going to break your heart with this one, but if a trade, you know, came around and they needed to throw in an outfielder, Nelly V, maybe they let him. Hey, maybe he gets to swim somewhere else, big dog.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Free. Like, just let him swim.
You
free.
Know, there's sometimes there's more room in the other swimming pools, other than the Cubs, especially that outfield right now. But you know, guys, this is going to be a really interesting offseason, I think, and. You know, before we dive totally into the plans that Juice has hidden away for us here in his ultra secret, super protected binder, there it is. There's the beauty.
Plans with hashtag, a Z.
Plans with a Z. I would have Juice, we would have it no other way. Plans with a Z. That's actually going to be the title of this episode is going to be free agency plans with a Z. So just
confirm for you, Carl Zambrano coming back.
Absolutely.
When you the Cubs part of Cubs on Tap. With a Z, C-U-B-Z.
Z on tap.
Free just for the offseason.
Yeah.
just to make shit ass backwards and all crazy. I'm all right with that. I think that would be a lot of fun. But guys, speaking of things that are going to get crazy, right? I think this is a good segue into this is the tender deadline is we're calling it tomorrow on the live show. It's going to be today, most likely when people listen to this as a podcast on Friday. There's some big names. Evan Longoria reports are he is going to become a free agent. That's already kind of out there. The Giants are not going to keep him in the weeds. I think the name, though, gentlemen, that every single Cubs fan has their eyeballs on, because not only does he fill a position of need, he's also a former MVP. And that is the one, the only, and as Jeremiah said earlier in the show, thoughts on the Cody Bellinger rumors. Because, again, this is a guy, even though he looks like he's on cloud 54 every single game, he's a great defensive center fielder, and he has shown in the past that he can get it done at the plate. Again, he has an MVP award in the NL with that Dodgers team. There's a lot of speculation of whether the Dodgers keep him or not, so I'm really interested to hear what you guys have to say. I know there's some other names out there that might make sense for the Cubs in the tender deadline, but I feel like the one that reigns supreme right now is Cody Bellinger. And I would love to hear what you guys have to say. Juice, I know we waited for your thoughts the first time around all the way till the end. So why don't you lead this one off?
Yeah, I like Cody Bellinger a lot. And actually, he's somewhere in this plans. But I look at this roster and I look at Cody from we're hurting for power left side. And that's a guy who, if he reigns it back, could definitely provide some power from the left side. Ron, you threw me off. You switched all the way over that way. It's
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Just to keep going, and I do. I like him. I like him a lot. I'm not like overly jumpy, like, hey, let's make this happen type deal, because there are a lot of prospects and guys I want to see. Brennan Davis, PCA. I don't want him to be blocked, but if he is out there and there's interest mutually, I think it's a good bounce back spot. Because like I said, the Cubs are looking for left-handed power, and that's what he can do for you. The stats aren't going to look good in terms of, you know, handling the bat. But if he plays a plus center field before your guys like Brennan Davis and PCA are ready, then I think that you're able to work him in at places like the DH. That is going to be a place of need as well for this year. I would be hesitant. But with that said, I do think that that's an avenue that they should research for sure.
Absolutely. And quickly, before we hear from the other guys, Jake back in the comments here, weed is legal in Illinois. So Bellinger, the Cubs is hashtag confirmed. Tyler, I want to know your thoughts on the Bellinger rumors. What do you think about this guy and what he brings to the table?
I will agree that I would love to have Cody Bellinger on the Cubs in 2023. Like you said, he feels a need. A couple of weeks ago, I wrote an article about just a random article about left-handed bats that the Cubs should consider. And I had a longer list. Like, it wasn't just – I put just five, but I had a longer list of guys to choose from. And I had Bellinger on it, but – and once again, I would love to have him on the team. I would be shocked if the Dodgers didn't give him some kind of deal next year. And I know – yeah, the last 2 years hasn't been the greatest, but dude, just looking at his stats right now from the last 2 years. Yeah, he batted what, 210 this year, 165 the year before, but last year he played in 95 games, and I'm sure part of that was because of injury. I want to say, did he get demoted at all last year?
I think it was mostly all injuries. I think you're talking about 2021, right?
2021, yeah.
I think it was all
injuries. He played in 95 games, and I get it. Maybe those other 60 games that he played in, maybe he doesn't hit, 200, but maybe he does. But then in 2020, you can't really count it, but maybe you can. He batted 239, which wasn't awful. But then just 2019, 2018, 2017, 47 home runs, 25 home runs, 39 home runs, 267, 260, 305, and the batting averages, and then OPS 900 plus, 814, and then a one dot. I would love to see Bellinger in center field next year. Like you said, he plays an amazing center field. I think next year, though, I think one of the things that maybe has him on the potential to come back to the Dodgers is maybe the Dodgers are looking at this, next year there's the rule change on the shift. Does that play an effect with his stats? Maybe not. But according to, I believe, what was it? SpotTrack. I want to say that he's potentially owed like what, $16 million? Close to that.
There, maybe higher than that.
I thought I saw $18 million, but maybe it's $16 million. Something like that.
Luxury tax salary. I'm not very smart when it comes to all that. But anyways, 16, 18 million. Does he get that much next year? I don't. If I'm the Dodgers and I can afford it, I'm paying the Dodgers. But if not, and he becomes a free agent, yeah, I'm picking up the phone. I'm calling him. Just because, man, the potential's there, like y'all said. MVP, rookie of the year, two-time gold glove, or maybe – I know he's won at least one gold glove, maybe two. But just the potential at being what, just 20, what is he, 25, 26, something like that?
27.
27?
Like, he's still a young stallion. I'm the same.
He really is.
Cody Bellinger. And he's a fucking,
and who knows, maybe all he needs is just a change of scenery. Even though I know they say like LA is a pretty chill place to play, just ask Joey Gallo, which he's a free agent, just saying. But who knows? Maybe that's all he needs. And like I said, if he becomes non-tendered, you at least got to pick up the phone and say, hey, buddy, how much? Yeah. Hey, because like you said, like we've said all year, left-handed thump, we're missing it. Cody Bellinger has potential. I know potential is a big word, potential. man, that dude, Wrigley Field, give him a season at Wrigley. Who knows? 30, 40 home runs, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he has the track record, and as Jeremiah brings up an interesting point here in the comments, he says they let Jock Peterson walk after only one bad year, and Cody has now had two. That's an organization that can afford to move on from guys, right? Even if they do have historical success. So, Joey, that's where I want to turn it over to you now and get your thoughts here. I'll give my opinions last. Thoughts? Cody Bellinger, Chicago? Made in heaven?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's match made in heaven necessarily, but I think it's a very good fit, especially when you need better defense in center field, and Cody Bellinger will provide that. I think for the Dodgers, the reason why they would non-tender him is because they are needing some extra money to, I mean, they have a ton of money, but they might need, look at it as, we could use this money to go elsewhere while we're in our contention window, which they're pretty much always in their window, but like, they could use that maybe elsewhere and build the rest of the lineup around and kind of put them over the top. Whereas like Bellinger's kind of a question mark with the bat. And it seems like, I mean, he has Scott Boras as his agent. He still hit close to 20 home runs last year. He still stole almost 15 bases last year. Yeah, he has a lot with that swing that he feels like he's trying to do. It seems like he's really trying to swing it very hard. He's out of swing. He's out of sync. I don't know what the deal is exactly with his swing, but like, and I don't know if the Cubs can unlock that or not, but I think it's worth a shot because he can play first base too. So I think Juice might have mentioned that. Like, if you call up Brendan Davis, let's say he does become ready at some point, he could always swing over to first base. Say Mash Mervis, we all want him to work out, but say he struggles early on, right? He has to go back to AAA. Maybe Bellinger goes to first base, becomes that kind of platoon guy if they add a right-handed first baseman like a Jose Abreu or a Trey Mancini or something like that. I know I'm kind of circling all these things at once, but like, I think if he's available, like Tyler said, you definitely make the call because he has that potential that you can possibly unlock. And we've seen it before where guys struggle. Like Scott Boras said that he needs to build up strength again. I think the swing mechanics really need some work and fine tuning, but this is a guy that's hit over 40 home runs before. And he could be our Kyle Schwarber in a sense where we let him go for basically nothing. And I'm not saying that right or wrong, at this point, it looks very wrong. They shouldn't have given him up for nothing. I think we can all agree with that. But like at the time, he wasn't like necessarily killing it either. But maybe this is one where you strike gold with. And for one season, I think the Cubs are in a really good position where they could afford to pay a little bit more for a guy that's questionable if he's going to provide you that defense with the upside of the bat. Because I'm very much more interested in Bellinger with a potential bat than a Kevin Kiermaier who gives you basically nothing offensively. And yes, he's very good defensively, which there's routes that they can go. And we'll kind of break down the other positions later on, but that's why I kind of would rather go the Bellinger route, the upside offense. I don't think you can get a zero from center field.
Yeah, and you guys bring up great points. Jeremiah says here, there are no bad one-year deals. I absolutely agree with that. You take a stab at a guy, it doesn't work out, you let him walk. It is what it is. This is why Joey and Jake are going to be on a microphone at some point this offseason again, because I think you and Jake are on the same wavelength here. He says, for what it's worth, there was a great breakdown on Bellinger's swing on the mechanics, pardon me, and how they changed after the leg injury. He's convinced that's the fix. So, again, this Cubs team has shown, because of how their front office operates and works, that they can unlock guys, you know, by working with them, you know, obviously the pitch lab and even hitting. I think we've seen some guys, you know, do some good things and improve in a lot of areas over the time. By the way, incredible comments so far this evening, because you guys aren't the only ones tripped out of Joey being up on the left-hand side. I apologize for destroying that for everybody. Jeremiah also asks Juice if he can have a pretzel. I saw that pretzel swipe too. It gave me a good
address. I'm sending out pretzels.
sending all the pretzels.
I'll put it Juice in an envelope, but I was like,
Juice has like the church snacks. Like my mom, when she used to like want to keep us quiet in church, she'd bring the little baggies with the snacks. Like the Juice has a little.
Remember the Scooby Doo like fruit snacks?
And you I love those.
The baby dude, blue like Scooby one. Those are the shit, dude.
Absolute shit. Chex Mix. You gotta have a little Chex Mix in there.
You gotta have a little everything. Dude, but guys,
real quick though, on the pretzels. Yeah. Just to evaluate what the pretzels are too, 5 to a player, because they're also dots. Have you ever had dots pretzels?
Dots pretzels are excellent.
Elite. That's a DeGrom of pretzel. Dots.
All right, I'm gonna try that. I'm checking.
Is that a segue?
Not quite yet. I want to give some. I want to give some 2 cents here, just real quick on the whole Bellinger situation, because I think it is interesting. I really do. It's very rare that you have the opportunity of a guy like Bellinger to become available, and I hate to reopen wounds and dump a gallon of salt into him, but it almost feels like the Kyle Schwarber situation a little bit, right? Where You know, maybe it isn't just working out where he is. The Dodgers are the one team in the league that can afford to let a guy go that has an MVP on his resume and replace him with a guy with probably just as equal talent, right? Like, that's just what they do. That's what the Dodgers do, right? Like, they let Jock Peterson walk, and everybody's like, "The fuck are you doing?" And then they were just fine. Even though Jock has gone on to become an incredible player, and now he just took the qualifying offer, so he's going to make 19 and a half with the Giants this year. Good for him. You know, it ends up that way. I think Bellinger would be a great add because, like you guys have said, he has the multiple position ability where maybe you DH him for a day. Maybe Brennan's ready and he comes up and plays center right away. You know, you can give, you know, Bellinger a day at first. You can give Bellinger a day in center if Davis isn't ready right away. You got to remember, Davis didn't play a whole lot last year, so we don't know when we're going to see Davis this year. You know, so maybe Bellinger is that guy that comes in center field.
And maybe Davis moves positions too.
Yeah, who knows? Brennan Davis, I honestly think Brennan Davis long-term is a left fielder, and that's not a shot at him. I just think that's how it's going to work. Because I don't know if anybody saw the Cubs release their first of the On Deck series on YouTube today. But there's a little known-name guy that Juice got to see a lot of last year. His name's Pete Crow Armstrong. That's going to be probably ready in 2024. You're not dethroning him from center the way he plays center field. Just a little bit. He's kind of good. So I like the idea of bringing Bellinger in. You can play him at first. You can have him as a DH. You can play him in center. Wilson Contreras is most likely gone. He denied the Cubs qualifying offer. He's a free agent. So that's, you know, that he played. He was the DH often last season when Yan Gomes would catch or PJ Higgins would catch. So they're going to need a guy to fill that extra spot in the lineup, really. And I don't see them giving that to a guy like, you know, a Christopher Morel or a Nico Horner. They want those guys in the field. Yeah. Bellinger could be a guy to a day off here and a day off there. You know, maybe it is just a rotation spot for guys like Ian Happ and potentially a Brennan Davis, or you want to give Seiya Suzuki's legs a day off. You know what I mean? Like, Bellinger is athletic enough where he can play all the spots in the outfield too. So really you have him to play four spot plus your DH, and you're probably bringing him in on. Yeah. That's, you know, so you're probably bringing him in on what? Maybe $10, $11 million. I think that's worth a shot at a guy that hit 47 homers.
Could be similar to the Jock Peterson deal we gave him just a couple years. It was like 1 year, $8 million or $9 million.
Yeah, I think Jock's with a little less money, but you know, maybe you give Bellinger a little more because of the age and because MVP of the upside. But even then, it's worth a shot. The Cubs have the money to spend. Like,
shit, didn't they give Wade Miley, like you said, didn't they give Wade Miley like something similar? It was $10 million, right?
Yeah,
he missed like the whole season. I mean, great in the locker room, fine. Clubhouse guy, all that. But, like, you could throw $10 million out there, like, for a year. I'm fine.
Yeah, great with that. So are washing machines, too, Joey. They work, though.
hey, if there's a potential where it turns into an entire laundromat, sign me up.
No, but Spin Zone on that whole thing. We're sorry to cut you off, Ron. But I know we're talking, like, future Cubs making the playoffs. But if they do stumble out of the gate, maybe they don't hit on these free agencies and they end up being bad again, and they do get Bellinger, that's a good trade opportunity, too, to chip him out to a contender, because left-handed bats are their prime, you know, pickings at the trade deadline. They bring back a lot of value in the system. So it's just an idea there, too.
Yeah, and especially if Bellinger individually has a good start to the season. He could be a very hot commodity if, like you said, the Cubs do stumble out of the gate. And I think, too, just, you know, kind of to conclude the thought, I think if Bellinger is non-tendered, this is going to be the narrative for the next week, right? It's going to be, this is logical. The Cubs should go get him. Like, they have a need in center field. They need left-handed bats. He's a young player with an MVP on his resume already. Like, this is a guy that the Cubs going to go get. And I'll be honest with you, give me 2018 Cody Bellinger. He hit like 260 that year with like 20-something bombs. That would be awesome. Yep. Like, give me that guy. I don't need MVP 2019 Bellinger. Don't get me twisted. I would love to see MVP 2019 Bellinger hit 47 bombs or whatever. But even if you get a fairly 85% of what we've seen Bellinger produce at the major league level, right? You get that 85% version of him, he's absolutely worth $10, $11, $12 million for one season. And then you can make a decision. Cody, do you want to play first base long-term, or do you want to leave and go get a mega contract? You want to leave? Okay, well, we really don't want to pay you. All right, we'll see you later, because PCA is going to take your spot in center field in 2024. Or Yeah, you do want to stay at first base? Okay, cool. Hey, we'll sign you for 5 years. Go play first base. You know, there's options there too, I think, with a guy like Bellinger.
I hate to say it. Maybe I don't want to – I hate saying this. Maybe the Cubs, if they do sign him, they see him do as well as he has, and they give him like a – maybe that one-year deal with an option for the second year. Maybe he's the replacement for Ian Happ if they don't re-sign him.
Interesting.
Well, that's a zinger. I hate saying that because Ian Happ definitely deserves to be extended. But as we've seen in the past, as far as with all these guys not getting extended and all this kind of stuff, who knows? And so, yeah, maybe he gets a mutual option for a second year, which would be Happ's walk. You know, this is his walk. You know, 2023 is his walk year. Maybe he's like, oh, that's okay. We've got Cody Bellinger here. He smashed us 25, 26 home runs for us. We'll just put him in left.
I think quickly before I want to hear from Joey as well. I think it's an interesting point because you have heard, right, that Jed said in his press conference, he specifically called out the names Nico Horner and Ian Happ as extension candidates, guys that they're having conversations with. Just because they're having conversations with doesn't mean they're going to come to an agreement.
Shit.
They had conversations with some of these other guys and they never got anything done.
Exactly. And I know everybody, it's all they're baseball players and they're making millions. It doesn't matter. You keep dangling that, you know, hey, here's an extension. I've got an extension. We'll talk about it. You keep dangling it out there and nothing gets done.
Yep.
I can guarantee you Ian Happ is going to be like the other guys and be like, hey, we can talk this offseason, 2023. He's focused. He's going to be focused on, hey, I want a big contract in 2024 with a lot of zeros. That's what I'm focused on. So I'm not going to talk to you during the 2023 season. We can talk this off season. After that, I'm playing. And so, you know, Jed can keep saying that and dangling it out there. But until, like y'all said, until it gets done, it's just all smoke and mirrors.
All smoke and mirrors indeed. Joey, what do you got for us here before we asked Juice to crack open his diabolical binder there.
Well, I'm ready to dive into this binder, but I do think that this is like with Nico Horner too. Like that's why to me, that's the most important part of this offseason is extending Nico Horner this offseason is the most important thing behind getting a stud shortstop. Like get one of the four shortstops or Aaron Judge, which, you know, you want to talk about like quick strike offense. That is Juice is not going to Michael. That's a definition of quick strike offense. I don't know if that's happening, but I'm just saying Nico Horner would be like just tying into this like Ian Happ conversation. That's priority number one for me this offseason is getting him extended outside of a shortstop. But Juice, I am excited to hear this you diving into this binder.
Yeah, and let's transition there, folks. So obviously, we've talked about it, right? The big four shortstops. I think that's the hottest take in Chicago sports media when it comes to the Chicago Cubs right now. Nobody gives a shit about who's playing center. Nobody gives a shit about who's playing first. Everybody wants to know who's playing the shortstop position next year because realistically, pardon me, Nico Horner's probably bumping over to second base, which there's nothing wrong with that because, mind you, the shift is going away. I think that's something we're going to see a lot of teams target this season because now your middle infield defense has to be elite. They have to be able to go side to side and truly cover those you know, that first base side hole and that third base side hole. They have to be able to execute that.
I think that's what part of that Mastroboni trade was for too because he can play very, very solid in the infield. Not to cut you off, but
– No, 100%. You're absolutely right on. I think you're seeing some of these moves that the Cubs are making – already playing toward that idea. So Juice, I want to let you have the floor here and lead off because I want you to dive into the mysteries of your binder here and really start to execute us on your offseason hashtag plans with a Z. You know, I think what something we absolutely want to touch on tonight is everybody who they want and maybe think the Cubs are going to acquire as that potential shortstop. But Juice, man, the floor is yours here. I wanna hear what you have to say. What is in that mystery binder, my friend?
Well, if you really want to know what's inside the binder, it's more Juice. So this is actually my work binder that I just stapled up. No, I didn't staple, I just taped it on there. But I do have the plans right here on our wonderful iPhone over here.
That's a list you got there too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I went all the way down to the 26-man roster. We're not going to dive into all that, but I first want to start this out by I want this to be the off season to where the Cubs finally get all of these. The Ricketts don't spend. The Cubs act like a mid-market team off their back. That's what I want out of all of this. But as I unveiled each and every roster, you know, player that could be added to this, there were essentially, let me count them up, 1, 2, 3, there were 4 names that I was like, yeah, definitely go out and get. And there's going to be more. This isn't going to be right. I'll tell you that right now. It came out of a binder that isn't really the plans. But with that said, I think the whole offseason starts with and there's just too much smoke to this. And I know we're in the one, you know, camera here, and I feel like I'm, you know, the newscaster telling you everything that's going to go on. I don't know shit, but I want to, in my plan, I wanted to give guys like Mervis and Brennan Davis the opportunity to win those two positions at first base and in center field. I just don't know how healthy Brennan Davis is, so I did hedge that bet with Cody Bellinger if he is available. Because I think, like we talked about, the spots, it hedges the potential. Like Joey said, if Mervis stumbles out of the gate, you could play Bellinger at first. And also the fact that if Brennan Davis isn't ready, you have a very capable center fielder, and it adds a lefty pop. So that was just kind of like the initial start. But I do want to touch on a name that I have seen some buzz about, but not enough. And well, two names here, and that's in the starting pitching market, because as Ron knows, and as you all, you know, I like building my teams from the mound around. And I think the Cubs need to be 1,000% in on Senga. I really do. As I sit and I watch so much of him, I'm like, this kid is legit. And not only that, I think you strengthen two parts of your team by having him on the roster. And it's having, you know, Seiya Suzuki, another battering buddy to pal around with. And on the flip side of that too, we don't know what Shohei Ohtani is going to be offered in the future or where he's going to be. So you almost kind of create this Cub hub. I love doing that. I was rehearsing that in my pre-show. This Cub hub of just these three guys that will really bring it's like it would be like the center for world baseball to come and watch. Like, think about like how many eyes and how much money if those three guys are on the same team. Like, just imagine being a Cub fan too and having the amount of, like, I know the Ricketts too, he's a businessman. The amount of money that would flood in from the overseas market if those three guys are on the same team. And the amount of coverage you would get from the MLB, if that's the case, holy shit. Like, and that's, to me, I went with him, and then I've always been a huge Taiwan Walker guy. I know he's out there, and I absolutely love pairing him with Marcus Stroman. That's my five. I have him. I have Senga. I have Stroman. I have our boy, Justin Steele, who ends up at that point. That's one hell of a three. Tyon Walker, and then it's a battle for five. It's Wesneski, it's Hendricks, there's a lot of names that can get into that fifth spot. And competition, you know, that iron sharpens iron, as we talk on this show. And that was my plan initially. I mean, there's some other guys that we're going to talk about over the course of these shows, but those were some names that I really started out from the bat of that's who we need to target.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And turning the torch over here on the topic as well, Juicin, you didn't even really get into the shortstop discussion too much.
No.
I think that opens up the floor here for everybody else as well to give some thoughts. Joey, we'll go with you here, my man. Give us some thoughts, man. Early free agency predictions. Who's your hard hitter? I mean, Juice, Juice nailed home the getting Senga, and that being an important one for him. Would love to hear your thoughts on who your guy is that the Cubs should really target this season.
Yeah, I love that call, by the way. I think Senga is absolutely needs to be a guy that they go after because I don't think he's going to cost you a ton. And I think that he's going to tremendously bolster the rotation. But if I'm just looking at it, like now I feel weird, like Juice, like just on the main screen here. But just looking at the shortstops, I mean, honestly, I'm pretty good with just about any of them. And I know Dansby Swanson gets like the flack of, well, he's like a consolation prize right now. And I don't look at it like that. Like the guy has missed basically two regular season games out of the last three seasons. If we're looking back, even the 2020 COVID shortened year, two games out of the last three seasons. And I think the bat is a little bit slower to come around, even though he's had this prospect pedigree, he still hits you. I mean, he's basically been on a 25 home run pace, like each of the last three or four seasons. And he gives you the gold glove defense. If he's the right price, I'm fine with Dansby Swanson. I do love Bogarts, Turner, and Correa for what they provide with the sticks, though. I think they are the better all-around players. Just, I mean, point blank, like, if we're looking at Bogarts, his defense actually improved a lot this last season. The metrics kind of point to him as having a pretty good, solid season defensively. And then Correa, like, we know what he provides, both aspects. He's probably going to get the most years because of being the youngest and the consistency. And now he's proving that he can remain healthy over the last like couple years here. So I really want Correa. Like that's probably the guy that I want the most, but I really don't have an issue with any of the four. Like if you were to tell me the Cubs get Swanson, I kind of want to see how they build it around Swanson to make up my mind as to whether it was like a good offseason or bad. But I think there's so much more that you could do if you get Swanson. Like they could add Brandon Nimmo, and then you kind of offset the bad on-base percentage of Dansby Swanson. You still get the power at shortstop. You get a great defensive glove there. Then you get an above-average glove in center field with Brandon Nimmo, an extremely good high on-base guy. But he's another guy who's also dealt with injuries, and he hasn't played – like I wrote it down here of the games that he's played. I mean, he's played – let's see, he's going to be 30 next year, and he's played, because of the injuries, 151 games played last year. His second most was 2018 when he played 140. So in his other 4 years, basically, full seasons played, he hasn't played more than 92 games. So Brandon Nimmo is kind of like, same with Aaron Judge. Huge season he's coming off of, but like, he's dealt with injuries too. Like, and he's a big dude, 6'7", close to 300 pounds, like, long-term contracts, I don't know. That's why I feel like you're probably going to want a long-term stud at the shortstop position. And I feel like Correa is probably the safest bet.
I dig it. I dig it. Tyler, it's your turn in the spotlight, my friend.
Yeah, what do you got? Well, real quick, Juice, I loved your idea of a Cub hub. I did not think of it like that, to be honest. I haven't been too high on the Senga train, but – what you just said, that makes a lot of sense with just the money rolling in. And hey, maybe it drives other guys like a Shohei or whoever or anybody else to come here. But that's a good thought. And Joey, to kind of you were talking about Brandon Nimmo. I agree. I don't really see Brandon Nimmo being a guy in Chicago next year. I think with the small amount of center fielders available, you know, you've got Aaron Judge and then you've got Brandon Nimmo. I think Brandon Nimmo, yeah, he's a good player, but I think he's going to get overpaid this year. I think somebody out there is going to offer him up a fat deal because of the limited amount of super quality center field guys. And I think he's going to, at his age, I think he's going to get a very high contract, and whoever gets him, eventually the team's going to be like, gosh, why do we pay him that much? With that being said, the one guy that I think that we need to focus on, we need to get, we should get, that makes the most sense, Joey, I agree with you, man. It's Carlos Correa. He's the biggest star on the list. He may not. I think Trey Turner is the better overall player. I think he's more versatile. I think he puts up the better numbers. But Carlos Correa, he's right there with the man, and he's the superstar. In his 8-year career, the guy has averaged nearly 30 home runs a year, 100 RBIs, an 800-plus OPS. I see him, and I see Alex Rodriguez. I mean, he's a big dude. You could put him over at shortstop. Maybe eventually he goes to third base. I'll be honest, I used to hate Carlos Correa. I couldn't stand the guy, 2020, and I'm sure along with a lot of other people. Nobody could stand the guy because, you know, you had the whole cheating scandal in Houston and all that kind of stuff. But here's what I learned about Carlos Correa. Obviously, yeah, they cheated. They all know that, whatever. I'm past all that. And then you had the ordeal with Jose Altuve and all this stuff. And it looked like it was obvious what he was doing. Oh, my God. Jose Altuve was cheating, had the little buzzer, blah, blah, blah. Carlos Correa, after all that, thinking about it, that dude was the biggest ride or die teammate. You know, the I'm going to go down with the ship no matter what. He was that guy for the Houston Astros. He took all the smoke. Like, you know, everybody was throwing rocks and stuff at the Astros, and he was just like, bring it on. And at first, I was like, man, screw that guy. And the more I thought about it, I was like, dude, that guy is a hell of a teammate to do that. And I know people have their opinions about him. I like the guy. Maybe that's what we need, is a bad guy. Maybe Carlos Correa is what we, imagine Carlos Correa playing shortstop in St. Louis next year. And we're beating the, let's say it's like a 6-0 game, and Correa gets up and hits a grand slam to make it 10-0. You know, just the cockiness, that would be awesome. And he's that guy. I think out of the other four guys, he is that guy. And I think, he's been there. He's been on that stage numerous times in the playoffs. Carlos Correa is my choice, and I think it makes the most sense. Dansby, I know a lot of people are saying he's the fourth guy, like as far as like the last one out. And honestly, I think he is. I've got a good friend that is a diehard Braves fan. He follows the Braves in and out, everything. I think Swanson's either going to go to Atlanta or LA. And just according to him, what he's talked like, I think he's not, I don't know how well he would be able to handle this change. You know, the change of, you know, we signed Dansby Swanson. Hey, you're our guy this year. We expect this. I don't know. And to be honest, if we sign Dansby Swanson, if I'm Nico Horner, I don't know if I like that. Because if I'm Nico Horner, A, I got screwed out of at least being a finalist. And B, this is just me thinking as Nico Horner, I'm a better shortstop than Dansby Swanson. And I'm gonna prove
you think so? That defensively though?
Maybe, okay, yeah, like maybe, like obviously Swanson had better numbers, but I think Nico,
I was gonna say there was only one player that was better in the
exactly.
NL.
And I think that drives Nico. I think that drives Nico.
Though, yeah.
And I just don't know, like, it's like, what's that saying to Nico? If we sign the guy that just beat him in the shortstop Gold Glove Award, maybe he's cool with it. Maybe he's like, yeah, I'll go off to second base and I'll play an outstanding second base and I'll win the Gold Glove over there. But I don't know. Like, I just don't want Dansby. I don't. And it's nothing against Dansby. He's a great player. And as far as Xander, if we sign Xander, I wouldn't mind Xander, but I wouldn't want him playing shortstop. I'd rather see him at second base. I'd rather see him at third base. So to reiterate what I was saying, Correa, he's the guy. Other than that, another pitcher, I know just like before the trade we had with Tampa Bay, there was a couple of rumors, nothing super official, about a Tyler Glasnow coming over here to us. I would have loved that. But with that being said, the Rays, I know they just signed that $20 million extension for him for 1 year. They know what they're doing with Glasnow. They know exactly what they're doing. They threw that contract on there. They know that somebody's going to want him. I know he didn't have a lot of starts last year, but what he did show, at least in the playoffs, was pretty impressive. He's shown that he can be a quality starter. He's a guy that I wouldn't mind us taking a look at, even though I know we just traded with him with just here recently. But and Nathan Eovaldi. Nathan Eovaldi is going to be 33 next year. The guy, he's been a quality pitcher for the Red Sox. I know last year wasn't the his best year, but it wasn't awful. He still had a 3.8 ERA. But he's a guy that's proven it in the past. He's pitched in Boston, which is a tough place to pitch. So, yeah, he's not a bad option either. And another guy that is familiar with the NL Central, Jameson Taillon. Just pitched for New York. He wasn't outstanding last year, but hey, anytime you can have a quality season in New York, especially with the Yankees, is pretty impressive. And like I said, he used to pitch for Pittsburgh, so he's familiar with our division. So he's another guy that I wouldn't mind if we took a look at.
I dig it. I dig it, man. Hey, I like that all of us have different thoughts and opinions on this. And I've got a couple, and I'll take my turn in the spotlight here. I can't be running the ones and twos and not put my big face on the camera for a moment as well. I agree with you guys in terms of the shortstop position. I really do think it is Carlos Correa. And it goes beyond just the fact he is the youngest. It goes beyond the fact that I think outside of Dansby Swanson, he's probably the best defensively. And I think it's because of the connection to the Cubs dating back to 2012. You know, the stories out there about how great his workout was with the team at Wrigley Field as a prospect and how the Cubs were sold on taking him at number six that year if he fell to them. Well, he went number one. He was the number one overall pick in that 2012 draft of the Houston Astros. And the Cubs followed that up by making the decision to take Albert Elmore Jr. with the number six pick that year. So let's pour a little salt in those wounds. But I really do think the Cubs connection is real with Correa. I do. I'm right there with you guys. And I know Jeremiah here says ew as a result. I know he was talking about that when Tyler was talking. But I agree. He's a guy that now that he's out of Houston, I sat back and I thought about it. And I was like, you know what? He's a good ball player. He's a real good ball player. My biggest thing for him is I want him to stay healthy. I want him to play 140 plus games a year, and that was something that I think was a knock that I had on him when the initial reports came out about him wanting a 10-year contract. Again, good ball player, gold glover, can hit the shit out of the ball, especially in the new age. Still had a really good season up in Minnesota with albeit less talent than he had in Houston. So I think he's the key at short. I will take a couple pivots, though, from what you guys have said, and I'll explain why. First base, I really do think a Jose Abreu makes a lot of sense. I know a lot of people really aren't talking about it. I know that you get the couple of Cubs fans that are like, but he's a White Sox. I don't give a shit who he played for. Jose Abreu, that dude's respected. When every single White Sox player that's been interviewed about Jose Abreu this offseason comes out and says, yeah, I hope we bring that dude back, there's a reason. Like, the guy's an MVP winner. The guy's one of the most consistent bats in the league for the duration of his career. Why wouldn't you want that in Chicago on the north side, teaching a bunch of young guns how to be a professional and how to hit and how to play through injury and how to just be a ball player? I want that. And everybody's worried, right, about Wilson and is that, that Latin, influence for guys like, a Christopher Morel or guys like a Nelson Velasquez. You know who else who fills that role? Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu absolutely fills that role. And I'll tell you what, as a diehard Cubs fan, I have always said there's one player on the Chicago White Sox that if I could see him in a Cubs uniform one day, I'd be really excited about, and that's Jose Abreu. Because the dude does it off the field. The dude does it on the field. The dude does it in the clubhouse. If you want to continue establishing a winning culture here on the north side at the friendly confines, Jose Abreu is absolutely that dude that you want involved. For one season, too, maybe an option for a second year out of it. Fuck yeah. That's a no-brainer for me, man. Jose Abreu gets it done, and Jose Abreu fits a mold that this Cubs team is being built on. Yeah, he had a down year in power, but he still drove in a hell of a lot of runs, and he still hit a ton of doubles. He had a really good offensive season last year for the Chicago White Sox. It just so happens the fact that that team could only hit station to station all season long if they weren't hitting the long ball out of the ballpark. You know, that's that's just a flaw of how that team was built. Jose Abreu would be a big addition as well. I think that covers first base. Obviously, would love to see Bellinger. I think we've established that, nailed that down, you know, harder than nailing a nail into a casket. But the last thing I think that I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach on, I think there is one pitcher the Cubs want. And then it's a bunch of guys to just fill positions for the time being. I think it is Senga, right? If they can go get Senga, go get him. I think that's a guy that you absolutely bring in. He fills the holes. He gets the job done. That's going to be huge. That's going to do a lot of good for this rotation. But a lot of people are overlooking the fact that there was a report that came out very recently that the Cubs were looking into Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber's an older pitcher. He's been around for a while. Had a really nice year with the Rays last year, truthfully, even though he's, you know, not the Corey Kluber of old when the Cubs faced him in the World Series. But what that screams to me is the amount of confidence the Cubs have in the young arms coming up. To take a guy who maybe is just a one-year gap fill to sit in the rotation and be, you know, that insurance policy, if, you know, because injuries are inevitable. We saw it with the last season. Holy fuck, at one point in time, the entire Cubs starting five in the rotation was out at one point in time, it felt like last year. If Kluber is the big, like, second pitcher they go get this offseason behind a Senga or somebody of that nature, I think that screams the amount of confidence they have in a guy like Hayden Wesneski to be able to step up and take that full-time role. I think that screams how further along maybe guys like Ben Brown and Ryan Jensen and some of these other arms are that maybe we don't talk about as much. We're seeing it a lot more in baseball nowadays where guys can go from double A to the big leagues. It's happening a lot more often, I think, than it ever was before, because so much of that talent hovers at double A right now. And then it's triple A is that fine tuning league, or guys that are those 4A players that we always talk about. I think there is a chance that a guy like Ben Brown is in the rotation in 2024 if he pitches really well in 2023.
I think even this next year, Ron. Honestly.
Yeah. I think he's a guy we can come see out of the bullpen in 2023, truthfully, with the kind of that, what, like, you remember, we'll take another Southside example here, since we're going to take their heart and soul if Jose Abreu signs. You know, Chris Sale did the same thing, right? Came up, was the closer, you know, and then eventually earned that starting rotation spot. I could absolutely see the Cubs taking that approach from a pitching perspective. I think we are underselling how ready some of these pitchers are, because we just haven't seen them. We don't know a lot about them, right? Go get that veteran first baseman Abreu that's going to teach winning and culture and how to be a professional. Go get that big time shortstop and a guy like Correa who's going to be here for a while. He's only 28 years old. He's going to play it. He's hitting his prime, right? Like the physical age of prime for an athlete is technically 28 to 32 years old. He's hitting his prime. Go pay the dude. Go pay him. That's okay. I'll live with that contract in a few years down the road. It's not a big deal. You move him over to third base. Like you said, the A-Rod treatment, I think that was a great example. And then when you do that, the guys that are coming around them, we got a little sneak peek into PCA's mentality today with the on-deck release, right? We know Brennan's on the way. Ian Happ could be a part of this future if they get a contract done. Nico's probably the safest bet to be a part of this thing. Seiya Suzuki still has quite a few more years to play here on the north side of Chicago. This team is coming into focus, and that's really exciting. And I'm right there with you guys. I think there's so many avenues they can go, but they're going to be active, and it's going to be an absolute gong show of activity over the next, what, month, 2 months probably, of what this Cubs team is going to do. Gentlemen, I want to open the floor up to you guys here. Any other thoughts on that? Thoughts of, you know, any of the panelists have had so far? And we'll kind of melt that into some final thoughts here too, as well, as we kind of start to wind the show down now that we've crossed that hour mark.
Can I?
Go ahead.
I just want to bounce off some things that you said there, Ron, because I actually think that what you said just a second ago is very important. That's why I do think that Senga, and maybe this is different than what a lot of people are putting out there on Twitter and stuff like that. I think a lot of people that follow this team very closely think that they need a high-end rotation piece this year, further than Senga. Like, they think they need Senga plus, like, a DeGrom or a Verlander or a Rodon. And I see it similarly to how you see it and how Juice is kind of building out his offseason plans with, you know, Taijuan Walker as the secondary piece instead of, like, a higher name than that even, because – Taiwan Walker would be very inexpensive. Not very inexpensive, but not as expensive. And he's got the connection with Strowman, obviously. So Strowman was like trying to recruit him over here, right?
Yep.
And Ben Brown, dude, everybody's talking about like they need strikeouts in the rotation. They need strikeouts in the rotation. Ben Brown is a guy who struck out, what, like 30% of guys? He could be that guy that comes up through and their development of the pitching that they feel so strongly about. Maybe we just feel stronger about it than a lot of people do out there right now. And like you said, maybe just people haven't seen it. But I feel like you nail down one of those horses or potential horses like a Senga, and you get like marginally better a secondary piece. I don't think they need a ton with the rotation because you get a full season of Marcus Stroman. Hopefully you get Hendricks back, who's been working, doing like a driveline program or is going to be on a driveline program and potentially, you know, working some things out. He still has to get healthy. But like Wesneski, we are super high on him, right? We saw a lot of him towards the end of the season. I think that you really need hitting. You need hitting more than anything, and you need better defense, especially in center field. But, yeah, I think pitching-wise, I'm not really as worried about the starting pitching. If you get one pretty good horse or a guy that's, like, potential as a horse. And I just want to touch on that because you threw out a lot of good points there that kind of made me think.
No, absolutely. Gentlemen, Tyler, I know you got something for us.
I agree. I'll be honest. Yeah, I was beating the drum on Jacob DeGrom during this season. I was beating it the whole, you know, we talk about it all the time. Hey, DeGrom, come to us. But looking, when you think about it, especially if we're wanting a guy like Carlos Correa, you're not going to be able to afford, we're not going to afford Carlos Correa and Jacob DeGrom. So that's not happening. As much as that, you know, and there's just too many what ifs with him. And the same thing with Carlos Rodon. I know everybody's talking about Carlos Rodon, and he's a great pitcher. He's a great pitcher. I think he's going to get overpaid this year, and that's no diss on him. To be honest, I don't look at Carlos Rodon as an ace. I think he's a good number two. But like you said, I like the idea of Corey Kluber, because not only if you sign Corey Kluber, you're signing a second pitching coach. You're signing a two-time Cy Young Award winner to be in your rotation. And with what you said, you're right. It says a lot about what this organization thinks about their pitching staff. And another guy that a lot of people have forgotten about, Caleb Killian. That guy, like, you know, he had his moments where, you know, he's trying to figure it out last year, but he still has so much potential. He's another guy to throw into that rotation that, like, man, who knows? Maybe this year he figures it out and comes up, because he was the guy that we were all talking about at the beginning. Ron, you had me hooked on Caleb Killian at the beginning of the year. And now he's not an afterthought, but he kind of is, because there's just so many other people we've got to talk about.
Right.
But, and with Correa real quick, I personally wouldn't be upset. If I know he's looking for an 8 to 9 year deal, I wouldn't be upset if we signed him for 8 or 9 years. I really wouldn't, because he's a guy, like I said earlier, he can transition to third base later in his career. He can transition to first base. He could DH for us. And again, I agree with the Jose Abreu too, man. Like, the dude crushes at Wrigley. Last year,
I was just saying, there's any ball player that likes hitting that Wrigley field.
I have nightmares about that 3-home-run game just 2 years ago. Like, just you couldn't get the guy to swing and miss. Mm. And last year had his oldest, you know, he's what, 35, 36, and had arguably one of the best seasons of his career. Imagine a guy like him helping to transition guys like Matt Mervis into the major leagues, you know,
good teacher.
And who knows, maybe if we was to sign Abreu, and if we was to sign Cody Bellinger, who's to say maybe Abreu helps him figure something out? Like, I put him up with that one guy that just retired this year as far as a hitter, as a pure contact hitter. I put him right there with that one guy from that boring town in Missouri. I won't say who. I won't say where, I won't say what team, but I will put him up as far as just his knowledge of hit. He's that guy. He is
that
well
respected. Did he just win an MVP that we won't talk about?
Well, his buddy won it, but at the same time, I'm glad you brought that up. It would not surprise me, speaking of that real quick, if there's an investigation in the future just because of the whole illegal bat thing, who's to say he was passing it around. And to be honest, if you watched that tonight on MLB Network, that guy getting awarded, if you noticed when they – he looked a little big. Like, is it natural? I don't know. But anyways – I wouldn't be mad with Abreu either. Like, I know there's a lot of diehards out there. They're like, oh no, White Sox, oh fuck that, blah blah blah. But like, no, dude, like the dude is an outstanding baseball player. You're in, you're out. So yeah. I agree with you, Ron. I agree with you, Joey and Juice. Like, yeah, that they would be great additions.
And dude, he just had his like he hit over 300 last year.
Yeah.
With I know the home runs were down. We kind of talked about that, but the OBP was still close to 400.
Yeah.
He had the lowest launch angle of his career last year. So maybe there's a slight tweak that he can make. I don't see why he can't get the batted ball metrics all look great, the hard hit rate, all that. He could hit close to 30 home runs again. I see it even.
I mean, guys, last year we had Alfonso Rivas and Frank Schwindel as our first baseman. We can do. We can do batting 300, right? I mean, that's okay for us. But no, I like all your guys' thoughts, because I think in terms of like what I, as you guys were talking, I think we're going to learn a lot about the way the Cubs are going to push these pitchers through the system through what we see from Brown. I think that's going to almost serve as somewhat of a template to how fast these guys can eventually make their way to Wrigley. And it's not the same. Not each prospect is the same, but I think it'll almost set some sort of an expectation or a precedent that this is possible. You can end up being, you know, with the big league ball club at this amount of time, you know, being thrown through the system. I'm not going to be mad at Jose Abreu. I'll say that. In terms of like Correa, I think, too, the Correa signing, we always have to look at, like, optics, too, when we're talking about signing free agents, because the whole idea and the whole kind of, you know, feeling around this ball club right now is that, like, your owners don't spend. So if you go and set kind of the mark, not overpay, but make the guy feel, you know, like he was wanted here, make the process swift, I think that almost, like, opens up the door for everybody else being like, oh man, the Cubs mean business. Like they're back open for business. And maybe you get more agents calling. Maybe you stumble into more signings that are, you know, more or less like a, not a deal, but maybe they come here to be a part of it because it's Wrigley. You know, there's a lot of that. And I just think like this offseason is so damn important in so many ways, because it almost sets the future. So what they do now is going to tell us everything about how quickly they can contend, how quickly they can, you know, turn this thing around and get back to the playoffs. All the signs and every report kind of says that they're all going to be in it. And if they fall on their face, like hypothetically, they end up with just Dansby Swanson and everybody else goes somewhere else, there's going to be a mutiny within Wrigley and a lot of their fans. So it's so important. Yeah, I'll be there. And I'm not that guy. I've been on this show for 3 years now. I'm not that guy who says they don't spend, they don't care. My opinion, the core failed. And when they failed, they had to reset. And when you reset, you got to strip it down to the studs in a lot of ways, especially when you spend so much in prospect capital. It's exactly what I thought they did. I agreed with it. They had four playoff runs post, you know, 2016. It didn't work out, whatever. But I'll tell you what, for every one of me, there's 15 of they don't spend, they don't care, they're going to fill Wrigley, whatever. And that's why this offseason is so goddamn important. And that's why, like, I sat here with the plans, and I'm like, man, this – it means way more than just playing MLB The Show and like, hey, I like this guy here, which I did. I did a lot. I reset a lot of my franchises and kind of played around with what I saw. But so just like building out the team, it just means so much for the future for this year. because it's going to set that template in regards to the prospects, in regards to the ball club, and like what is expected to be spent year after year after year after this.
If we don't do anything this offseason, we're going to see juice at CubsCon dressed just like that with this book. I had the plans here, right here. Just take it already.
You fucked up the plan.
The plans were here.
He's going to be like pushing over kids to ask the questions first. Like, why are you? Here's the plan.
Get the hell out of here, kid. Nobody cares about your favorite ice cream question. I had the plans.
Absolutely, guys. Hey, I'll tell you what, man. This has been a bender of a show, and we're going to have a lot to discuss. I really do think that over the course of this offseason, I'm in agreement with all of you guys in the sense of I fully believe the Cubs are going to be quite active here over the next handful of months leading up to not only CubsCon juice, but also, spring training then here in. It's going to be on us before we know it. Let's be honest. That's just always how it works. We'll be sitting here and, it's so far away. And then February is going to dawn on us and be like, oh, shit, it's pitchers and catchers reporting, baby. Let's go. Okay, here we go, it's going to get that way. So, gentlemen, I want to give the floor back to you guys all once again really quick here. Any final thoughts for our listeners before we start to shut this thing down? For the evening, Joey, I'll let you go ahead and go first. We'll throw you on the spot.
Man, we've talked about so much tonight. I think we pretty much hit on all points. I would like to bounce back to that Cody Bellinger conversation real quick and say I have a lot of friends that are potheads. I get along great with them. And I don't smoke weed. I probably should. It would probably help with my stress. And yeah, I'm hoping that he's non-tendered by the time this gets released tomorrow and as a podcast. And I'm hoping the Cubs are in on him. And I'm hoping they have a huge offseason, man. This is why we've been looking forward to this all season. This past season, we've been looking forward to it. And the time is now, or like winter meetings are coming around the corner. I think Jed actually said that like the GM meetings felt like winter meetings. So they've already kind of like set the landscape of things that are going to be happening. I think it'll be the first winter meeting since like 2019 where it'll be in person. So that'll be cool since like COVID and stuff. Man, we're in store for a busy, busy little Thanksgiving and Christmas. It seems like, I hope. I think they're going to make some big moves, man. This is fun though. This is a lot of fun to get back on the mic and talk Cubbies with you guys again.
Absolutely. News on the holidays is hashtag cool and tough. Tyler, any final thoughts for us?
I agree, man. It's exciting, exciting times. We've been waiting on this forever. It's arguably one of the most important off seasons we've had in several years. With that being said, if you're a casual fan, a diehard fan, whatever, be on the lookout. There's going to be so many rumors flying these next 2 months. So much stuff. You've got to be on the lookout for keywords in tweets or posts about, such and such is interested in such and such, talk to this guy, words like that. Just because they say they're interested, they talk to this guy, they like this guy, doesn't mean that they sign the guy. So I know there's and so many people out there, so many sources out there are gonna be posting this and posting that, and they're gonna want to be the first one to say, this guy signed with this guy. Just be careful with who you're taking that information from, and be careful with what you're reading, because a lot of stuff out there is just trying to get clicks and trying to get people excited and riled up. And so like yesterday with the Glasnow news, I thought we were seriously talking to Glasnow, and I saw it from like one person that wasn't really a reliable source. So just be on the lookout for that and be careful with your sources and stuff like that.
Absolutely, especially with all the new blue Twitter check marks that'll be something to keep an eye on. And to your point, Tyler, I am also interested in a six pack, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go out and acquire one here on this physique anytime soon. So just bearing warning to words like interested and agreed to and things like that. Juice, final thoughts for our listeners this evening.
Yeah, man, I'm just happy we can get all together and talk about some Cubs again. And we don't have to, these people who jump in here, they don't got to pay for it either. Jump in and have any bullshit subscription fee or anything like that. I think it's awesome. The fact that we,
we do this thing. We do it for free. We do it for all you guys. But yeah, man, it's gonna be a fun off season. I think a lot of people will be saying the same things we were saying on this show tonight, in their shows, you know, tomorrow, and maybe even in the future. But yeah, man, I'm excited to talk about this this over the off season. Hopefully, the Cubs make a big splash.
Absolutely. Big moves are cool and tough, and being active in free agency is also something that we're fans of here at Cubs on Tap. Gentlemen, I don't have a final thought because I think you guys absolutely nailed it on the head from this incredible quartet we have here at Cubs on Tap. But I do want to quickly remind everybody before we get out of here that Cubs on Tap is the official Cubs podcast of the On Tap Sports Network. You can check out all of our great work over at www.ontapsportsnet.com and at On Tap Sportsnet on social media. That includes the Twitter, the Instagram, the YouTubes, the Facebook, and even the TikTok. You can find us at all of those places. Not only do we do Cubs, Bulls, Bears, Blackhawks, you know the drill. Actually, Four Feathers will be coming to you live here in about 30 minutes. If you're watching live with us, be sure to tune in with myself, the one and only Mr. Johnny Nani, and the boss man himself, Tony Marchese. It'll be a good show, hopefully, as we talk about the Chicago Blackhawks. But again, we got it all. Buzz and Keith did a great show last night on Bulls on Tap. Be sure to follow along. And our Bears guys are live actually right now as we are live here at Cubs on Tap. And yes, Cubs fans, you know the drill. We all have friends who like the Southsiders. Go ahead and send them over to our friends at Sox on Tap as they do a great job covering the boys over at 35th and Shield. So once again, we got it all. Joey's actively on Golf on Tap / On Tap Bets. Juice is all over the place as well. I'm all over the place as well. Again, find it all over at ontapsportsnet.com and at ontapsportsnet on social media, the On Tap Sports Network. Go ahead and check out what's on tap in Chicago sports. Gentlemen, this was an absolute blast. There's nothing better than a full barn episode here at Cubs on Tap. We're looking forward to the rest of the offseason, obviously covering what the team does, but getting some big guests on as well. And who knows what else. I know we're going to have a presence of some sort from Cubs on Tap here at Cubs Convention, so that will be a lot of fun, and that will yield plenty of content as well. So be on the lookout. We're going to be plenty busy despite there being no baseball here for a few months. Gentlemen, what do you say we get out of here the only way we know how here at Cubs on Tap?
Fuck them Cardinals.
Turn the stove FTC. On.
FTC, baby, FTC.
FTC, and let's go, Cubbies.